Blog Talk Radio.
No, hello, hello. Collaborate time. Your favorite prayer and relax. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the backyard. This is Margaret Marshall, your host. I must apologize. We're running a little late tonight because the senior citizen touched the wrong button, and instead of scheduling the show for 8, I scheduled it for 8:30, called in at 8, only to find out that I was too early. So I apologize for my listeners that might have checked in earlier. Please forgive me. But next week we'll be back to our 8 o'clock time. Unless we vote tonight that 8:30 is better because I see the board is full. So I'm going to welcome everyone again online, calling in, and the listeners that may be listening online on their computers. Tonight, we're going to talk about some of our unique fruits, and some we haven't discussed before. And as usual, I always welcome you and tell you this is a Labrish. So if you'd like to interact with me and join the Labrish and let your voice be heard, please hit 1 on your keypad so we'll know that you want to talk to me. So I can open up the mic and welcome you. So if there are any callers that are on the board that would like to say hello to the rest of the world and to join me in celebrating the rich culture of Jamaica that we knew when we were growing up, that we want the world to know about when we were growing up, please hit 1 on your keypad so I can open up the mics to you. But if you all got the promo that said it was supposed to be 8 o'clock, I again apologize. I just said 8, but hit 8:30 instead, and so I couldn't get through to everyone. I was here, but the backyard was sort of empty. So tonight, we're going to talk about some of the other fruits that we did not have a chance to discuss before. But I continue to be amazed at the variety because when you're there and you're eating all these delicious fruits, you don't really get it as to how many of them we had. I mean, we could have been raised just on fruits alone because we had such a variety. And as I have done the research and shared with most of the listeners or all of the listeners, I was amazed at the amount of nutrition that was in each one of the fruits, not only the nutritional value, but that some other cultures, I know I personally was in my household or my family, we were not using the entire tree, but I got to find out that in different countries that have the same fruits, they might call it a different name, but they used every part of the tree, the root, the bark, the leaves, the seed of the fruit, the ones that were edible. It's just amazing. And I think I covered quite a few in the past weeks that we were talking about it since we started. And there's still so many more that I couldn't, I suppose it would take months just to fit them in if I was going to, you know, do some research and talk about what other people did with them or are doing with them. Because in a lot of other countries, they're still using not only the fruit, but all different parts of the tree. So tonight, because we have some things, or two of the fruits that are very unique to Jamaica, and there's no information of them growing anywhere else, I think that is very special. And I also want to tell our listeners that if you did not notice it, one of the fruits that is special to us was spelt wrong. And I would like to say I did it purposely so that you, because tonight one of the things I'm going to ask is if any of the listeners on the board, and I see calls coming in from 718-516-973-678, if any of the listeners know about the Ortonique and how it got its name. So I'm waiting for hands to be raised. I'm going to talk about it a little until I get a raised hand, because I want to know if anyone knows that have not done the research why or how it came to get that name. So first, I am going to talk about the ugly and give you a chance to think about the Ortonique. If I don't see a raised hand, while I finish with the ugly, I'm going to assume that you don't know how it was called that name or what the name means. So we're going to talk about the ugly. And I don't quite remember eating an ugly. I know the name. I can remember the name, but I don't remember if I've ever eaten it. But my research tells me that the fruit tree is a hybrid, meaning it's a new plant made by a cross between two or more plants. In this case, the trees are the grapefruit and the tangerine. Ooh, I see a raised hand. We've got a yardie that knows something. Hello there. This is Margaret. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, Margaret. This is Janine.
Hi, Janine. Tell the listeners where you're calling from.
I'm calling from New York, Long Island.
Oh, great. Well, welcome.
Thank you. The ugly, I remember hearing, and I think they used to use that fruit mostly to make lemonade. Because it's a big fruit, but it's supposed to be really an orange-looking fruit. But I remember hearing about the ugly.
Have you ever seen it?
It's an ugly-looking orange. It's not a small one. And if I can remember right, they used to use it mostly to juice for lemonade.
Okay. Well, it's supposed to be a cross between a grapefruit and a tangerine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm wondering if that is right because, no, that is not the right one at all because it's the Ortonique. It is right. That's the grapefruit and the tangerine. Now, the Ortonique is a cross between, do you know what that is a cross between?
No.
It's a cross between the orange, an orange and a tangerine. That's the difference between the two fruits.
Oh, okay.
And if you notice the name, it's part, the first part is or, first letter is in orange.
Right.
The second part is tan. First letter is in tangerine.
Mm-hmm.
And the last part is unique.
Oh.
So I thought I was so clever. It really was so clever. But it was actually, let me go back to the Ortonique. It is a cross between an orange and a tangerine. but it was discovered in Jamaica in 1920, in the 1900s, it says, really. Another website said 1920. It was found there. You know, it was not, there's no documentation as to who put it together. That's the interesting part. However, the person who discovered it is a Charles, I don't know if he discovered it then, but in 1933, Charles P. Jackson of Mandeville, some district in Mandeville, he began to make different, to work with it, and he actually gave it the name. The fruit itself was discovered, you know, that it was different before.
Oh,
but this person,
I think
Mr. Jackson.
I know which one that is now.
The Orgenique.
Yes, yeah. In other words, instead of you have to peel it with a knife, you can actually do it the way you would do a tangerine. I think I know
yes,
what food that
egg
is.
Egg it, as we say.
Yes,
you egg
right,
it.
Right.
Yeah. So the name is part orange, part
tangerine,
and part unique.
Mm-hmm.
But this person went on, you know, to do other things with it, worked with it. He must have been someone who worked with plants. But he's the one that actually gave it the name, but it was discovered, you know, in different parts of the island in the early 1900s. So I thought that was interesting. And in 1946, this person declared himself the originator of the varieties, because they made other varieties from it. And, you know, it became public that it was different. And so he gave it that unique name. He was apparently dissecting it and working with it. And I think that's a genius name for it.
Yes, yes.
But I can't remember, you know, I left the island so long ago, and I only went to Sablemar from Kingston. So I don't remember ever eating one of them, but I knew about that one. I also knew about the ugly, but never ever seen an ugly.
I don't think they actually eat it. They use that for juicing.
Right.
It's big. You would almost think it's a grapefruit. It's big and it has a very funny shape, if I can remember right.
Right. Well, for the people who might be interested in visuals, if you go online, you can actually see pictures of both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And now
they
said that
too.
The ugly was bred. That one was actually put together by somebody. I don't have that person's name. But they said that one was bred at Trout Hall in the parish of Clarendon. The cross between the grapefruit and the tangerine. I suppose since they saw that the the Orgenique was good and it was a cross, somebody crossed the grapefruit and the tangerine.
I guess so.
But I suppose the orange and tangerine was a
better
you know, cross. So I thought that was quite interesting. But I also wanted our listeners to help me to name some of the fruits that I cannot find any information on the internet or even some people blogging about some things that might just mention a fruit, some Jamaicans. Quite a few Jamaicans that are living all over the world are blogging about, you know, their days of growing up in Jamaica, things they love, things they remember, things they miss.
Right.
So if any of the bloggers are online, I want to thank them for contributing to my experience, because I read quite a few different blogs of what people, you know, say about certain things. But I want to talk a little bit about what I remember, because I don't see any information about that. I remember a fruit called macafat.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it being flat with a hard shell.
Right.
And I think it was a meat that you ate off similar to a guinea, but it was bigger.
Yeah, you could actually get the whole thing in your mouth.
And it was flat?
Yes, I remember eating it as a child. You have it from side to side in your mouth. Eating
right,
it
like a big...
Yeah, but it was round.
Right, right. But so I can't find any information on it, except it named, you know, at different times. And if any of the other callers had a macafa tree, I don't know whether it grew on a tree or a vine or what. I mean, it's just, it wasn't important to me then. But so, all of a sudden, you know, all those little things are important now. Another thing that I remembered, do you remember any fruits that you don't hear of recently that you'd like to share with us?
What about thinking toe?
Oh, yes. Well, that is there's still some information on that.
Okay.
And I'm going to read some of what I picked up on that. But I remember that my family lived, you know, near to the sea, and we always went to the beach. And I think I used to go to Blue Fields, you know, that was a beautiful beach in Westmoreland. Anyway, I remember seeing sea grapes. We had grape trees along the ocean, and they were edible grapes.
Yes, that was lovely.
Do you remember that?
Yes, you find it almost on a beach, you know. They used to have the sea grapes.
It was never on a vine. It was always on a tree.
Like a bush. Yes. Like
yes.
A bush.
It was. It was like more. Wasn't it a big tree?
I would say it went across more like a hedging.
Oh.
Oh, I remember it.
I thought it was a tree that you had to climb or something.
No. It wasn't a vine like how you see regular grapes.
Uh huh.
Just run like to me like a hedge along the.
I got you. How about Jimbaline?
Oh, yes. Jimbaline was very nice. That's very small, and the color of that was beige. It was a very small, it's like a cherry.
Ah. And how about Sweet Cup?
Sweet Cup, I remember Sweet Cup. You have to burst that open and then eat the inside.
And it had a lot of juice.
Yes.
I see another raised hand from 678, and I'm going to open up the mic. After all, this is the Labrish. Welcome to the Labrish. This is Margaret.
Hi, this is Cecilia. How are you?
Hi, Miss Cecilia. Welcome to the show. I'm great.
I thought I'd drop in tonight and say hello.
Well, thank you so much. Do you remember anything of what we're talking about?
Let me tell you about macafat, okay?
All right.
Macafat is like a small coconut. And it, around the skin, it has a hard shell-like, what would I say?
Almond.
No, it's not like an almond.
No.
It's like a coconut, and the outside is green, like a coconut. And then you take your teeth, and you break off the coconut, the shelly part of it, and then you have this gummy, sticky, sweet thing around a huge seed. And then we would break the seeds open with, I guess we'd break it open with...
Stone.
Yeah.
With a stone.
With a stone. That's what I was trying to think of. A stone. We would break it open with a stone and do ourselves proud. But it sticks to your mouth. Something fierce. Do you remember that, the other person on the line there?
Yeah, I remember eating it, and I could get the whole thing in my mouth.
Yeah, you get the whole thing in your mouth. But here's the snack. It is sticky. Like, you know, very sticky.
Sort of gummy.
Gummy, yes. Very
all right.
Gummy.
I am sure it was loaded with nutrition, because I have... research any of the fruits yet that we just eat that are still available, I know, that are not rich in so many different nutrients. It is amazing. And I don't know, Cecilia, if you had a chance to listen to any of the other shows. And you can tell our listeners where you're calling from?
Alpharetta, Georgia.
Okay, thank you. That, but, you know, they have numerous nutrients in the one fruit.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That's the whole purpose behind. I was watching the Travel Channel, and there is this man in Jamaica that he's a Rastafarian. He's a doctor somebody, Rastafarian doctor. And he makes these, like, you know, he was explaining that the coconut water, you know, when people are sick, they say, yeah, uh-huh. bring them some coconut water. Well,
right.
the reason for that is he's saying that it's like a heart remedy.
Mm.
And he was, you know, like he was explaining all of this to the tourist guy that didn't know much. But it was very interesting, the foods we ate. I remember our teacher telling us that, because I didn't know about that until then, way back in elementary school, that when you couple the rice and the peas, it becomes a complete protein. I don't know how he knew that stuff back then, because people weren't talking like that back then. But that's what happened. So our food is always so delicious and so nutritious, and we took it for granted, you know?
Right. Now, do you remember Jim Berlin?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, do you know if any of those fruits are still available in Kingston?
Nothing is available in Kingston except at an exorbitant price. The last time I was there, I couldn't, you know, I bought, like, sweet sop and,
sour sop?
You call it cream. No, not sour sop.
Custard apple. Yes.
I bought custard apple, and it was like a fortune.
Well, because it's scarce, I'm sure.
Huh?
It's scarce.
Nothing grows in Kingston because they have, you know, raped the land.
Right.
There is no land.
As I said in the promo, I'm hoping that, you know, I've given a lot of information on the nutritional value of the fruits and what other cultures are using some of the trees, that the whole tree for.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're doing that in Jamaica. I suppose more, since there are more people involved in the herbal, you know, side of things,
yes.
they might be.
Right.
However, I'm hoping that people, the younger people, will see the value of our gifts that we have there and preserve them, you know, get more respect.
Mm-hmm.
And as the population increase, they would try not to just ravish everything and cut down everything, but
yes,
to preserve some of the older plants and plant new ones.
That's it. We, you know, Jamaicans were always like, I remember when my godmother moved to our new house, the
uh-huh.
first thing she did was to plant, I'm telling you the tree now. It's one of those precious mangoes, you know, the fancy mango.
Yeah, we
that
spoke about
India,
those.
India.
That's one of the first things she did.
Right.
Because, you know, you do that kind of thing. So it was interesting how people process and what they process. But the food.
It's a new feeling now, because I know that one of my girlfriends who was on the show one night, She was my neighbor for the short time I went back there in the 70s, and she had a
mm-hmm.
big, great, big, beautiful Nesberry tree.
Yes.
I mean, when it was when the fruit, it was so many. And I understand, you know, that land that all of that was on now, the tree's down, and, you know, there's a house on it.
They've cut up the land.
I am sure. So I am just hoping that as the population increase and younger people will realize that we need to retain, you know, even some of what the traditions that we had in the past, and of course, most of all, the things that we're blessed with there naturally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because some of those trees are very, very, very old. And I remember growing up looking.
You know?
Beg your pardon?
people keep planting. I mean, you know, like when you get a piece of land, because land is not that.
I don't think I've much of that going on as much as it did.
I agree with that. I don't think the young people is.
Oh, no. Uh-uh. Have you been to Kingston recently, Cecilia?
2000 when my father passed.
Oh, well, honey, lots have changed.
I know.
Lots have changed because there's a lot of housing.
Yeah.
Where, you know, and there's not a lot of space anymore. There are more condominiums and there's no land.
Right.
The new places don't have any land around to plant trees,
yeah,
you know, perhaps a flower garden.
That's in the cities. The country people still have great trees. You know what I'm saying? That's in the cities.
We're talking about city before. I just told you the tree was is in Kingston.
I know.
We're not in St. Andrew. I'm talking about the, you know, where I knew.
Oh, okay. Where
I'm sure the people in the country will keep it up, but in Kingston,
even in the city part of the country.
Oh yeah, you mean
because
the towns like
Mandeville. I know, understand. Mandeville has totally changed.
Yeah, because I've heard about Mandeville changing.
So and Black River has totally changed. So there's an erosion of even the land in the country parts of the city parts of the country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever part is where people would want to live.
The town, yeah.
Yes, that usually have trees. I remember my aunt lived in Black River, and there were a lot of big, huge mango trees. There. So
we had a big, huge mango tree in my yard when I was growing up as a child.
And that is Kingston.
That is Kingston.
Well, I don't think you're going to see much big mango trees in Kingston anymore. Not as much as, you know.
Not like before.
Right.
Say. But the trees. That, you know, because when we grew up with all these trees in our yard. We took it for granted. We had naysberry, star apple. Remember star apple, the purple fruit?
Yeah, we've been having a ball researching and finding out what they did with different parts of the plants.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't we, Janine?
Yes, we did.
We were amazed at what other cultures were doing, even the wood, if they even took down the tree. The tree itself produced a lot of different things, and they're from what I read online, they're still using, you know, the bark and the leaves of several of these in different cultures for different things. Information. Who remembers the you have it here too, the pongonaut?
Yes.
Pomegranate,
they're called here. Now, you know there's a big buzz about it here now.
Yeah.
Right.
Over the past 2 years. And we have always had that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course.
But I don't think that we celebrated it above any other fruit.
Huh?
I don't remember it being like a very special thing that we didn't realize the nutritional value is what I mean.
Yeah,
we ate it, but I don't think we put much emphasis on that one.
Right.
When it was around, we had it. Yeah.
Right. But
because it was so hard to eat.
A lot of seed.
Yeah, it was hard to eat.
Yes, we just had a lot of seed. So unless you really have the patience to eat it.
Well, besides what we know about it in Jamaica, you know, it is native to a lot of other places, as far as Persia, China, Japan. I mean, it's all over the place.
There's some tropical fruits. I went to Brazil, to the north of Brazil, and they thought I was an American, so they invited me up to the market to show me what a real market looked like, right? It looked just like Carnation Market to me. And I walked in there, and they had sour sap, they had that sweet sap, they had rose apple, They had everything. I went crazy. So the people wanted to know, why are you carrying on? Because I was living here in Georgia at the time, and I hadn't seen anything tropical in years. So, and they said, why are you carrying on? I said, oh, my God, I grew up with this.
Wow.
So, you know, it's all tropical fruits, all tropical, not all. Some are peculiar. Like, I think the guava is peculiar to the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. But then they spread it out and they have it in Cuba and in Santo Domingo because the Haitian cut it down and burn it for wood, so they don't have much.
Somebody left. Else wants to join the labyrinth here,
okay,
and I'm
ahead.
Going
Let me
to
shut up,
Mike. To 718-379. Your mic is open. This is Margaret in the backyard. Welcome.
Yes, well, she doesn't have to shut up. We can just jump in and talk.
Uh-huh. Okay, but I do have to open up,
as I said,
right?
I'm monopolizing the conversation.
Yeah, mm-hmm. One thing we haven't mentioned, you haven't mentioned yet, is the fruits that are left and the fruits that don't grow in Kingston anymore, but they still grow in the country.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a whole new industry, just like here, now in Jamaica, you go to these fancy malls that they have in Kingston,
mm-hmm.
and they juice them. What do you call that juice? That
Irie?
Pardon?
Do they call it Irie?
No. Well, they may call it that, but this, you know, when you go, they have them here. Even in McDonald's now, they have these different juices, combined juices.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I never can remember the name of it,
mm-hmm.
the product. But they have that in Jamaica now, from, you know, with all these different fruits and whatever.
Oh.
So, you're not going to get the fruit to peel or to bite into or to take the stone and open it up. But
oh, man.
But they're making these drinks.
They're making it easier by putting it in a drink.
Yeah,
right.
And the drinks aren't...
Who knows what else they're putting in there?
Well, no, it you know, it goes under the heading of nutrition and something that is...
Mm-hmm.
We were saying... you imagined that we didn't know all that was in the fruit itself when it was analyzed and what it's good for.
Right.
But it's taken for granted that when you buy one of these drinks, it's most nutritious.
Right.
Well, it's just to show you how lazy they are now. Instead of sitting and
they're modernized.
Eating the fruit. They just want to swallow it down.
Modernized.
Well, you see,
always need the fruit.
They say if you cough here, our river saying goes, they do the same thing in Jamaica.
Right.
So, you know,
no, if America
sneezes, yeah.
Or all catches a cold.
That's the way. Yeah. So it didn't take them long to start making a lot of money from this.
Right.
And I remember in Washington there were two Jamaican girls that opened up an ice cream parlor with about two dozen different varieties of ice cream,
mm-hmm.
All derived from different
fruits.
Mm-hmm. So
it was back to what I'm saying, you know, from we were growing up, we had this wonderful variety, even in ice cream. And I was surprised when I came up here in the 50s that their flavors were so limited.
Yeah, until the West Indians got in.
Right, that's right. Yeah. But I want to tell you a little bit about the pongonut, or what they call it, pomegranate here.
Let's call it pongonut for our...
Right. Call it pongonut. Mm-hmm. But, Leigh, I don't know if you heard me saying that, you know, this one happens to be grown all over. the pangonaut or the.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the.
You know,
it's
a fruit that's mentioned in the Bible.
All right,
yes.
So that's the part
and
I was going to talk about now.
And the Greeks are into it in
yes,
big time.
Yes, Persephone.
Oh yes.
Persephone died by
choking
on a pomegranate.
Right. It has been mentioned. I mean, it has been around for over 300 years.
Whoa.
Or more.
Or more, right.
You mean 1,000.
3,000 years or more.
Yeah.
Now, the fruit has been found in Bronze Age tombs, the fruit
yes.
itself. Moses had to assure the Israelites that they would still have this pangonaut
mm-hmm.
when they reached the Promised Land.
Mm-hmm.
That's something they wanted to make sure that they had.
And
or they were going to move, you know, so they could make the trek.
Yeah.
That's how important it was. The Greeks and the Romans celebrated pangonaut. Shakespeare's Juliet insisted to Romeo that the pangonaut was a nightingale that sang from the pangonaut tree.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the pangonaut had many culinary uses in the Middle East and in Asia. Besides being eaten raw, the juice is used traditionally in Persia, in Indian cooking. It is just they use it for all sorts of different things.
They say it's very good for cancer.
Yeah.
Yes.
I saw something on the computer yesterday. On
yes, very good for cancer.
That it's a big drink in the supermarket now that you buy as a juice.
They have it with
and what this thing was, this article was saying was that you shouldn't, you're better off getting the 100% pangonaut, which they use the skin as well as whatever it is and crush it, even the seeds.
I chew the seeds when I eat it.
Right, to make this juice. And now you find that they're putting grape pangonaut and apple pangonaut. They said that don't buy those.
The
100%. You get everything from it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the one that you are talking about, Lee.
Yeah.
When you throw it out in the glass, it actually looks like it's going to stay in the glass. It is so strong.
It is so strong.
Yeah, that is the best one to drink.
And if you notice that you can only buy it, it has to be refrigerated at a colder degree than the other juices, or most of the other juices.
Otherwise, you have to keep it in the fridge or it's
it deteriorates very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for all of that input. And we were discussing before, you know, that there are some that are not very popular anymore, because I know when one of my girlfriends, when I went to Jamaica some time ago, when my girlfriend's children were younger, and I asked them, they lived in Kingston, I asked them if they know what a macafat was, and they'd never heard of it. They've never seen it. They'd never eaten one.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that there are people in perhaps Kingston and some parts of the country that might never know about a macafat.
True.
Because
I've heard about it, but I've never eaten it.
Right.
No,
well, I have actually eaten a macafat.
That was
how about a jimbalin?
Jimbalin.
Of course, we had jimbalin trees.
How about a sweet cup?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
That's
why I called in, because you were mentioning the sweet cup business, and I've never heard of it.
Oh, well, I remember the sweet cup.
I've seen sweet cup in Panama.
Yes. You have the seeds inside. And you just eat it.
You sure that's not sweet sap you're talking about?
No, it's a small thing.
It's a yellow thing, right? Yellow.
It's very small.
Yeah. I've seen it in Panama.
Sweet
pop.
Yeah.
I have never heard
of it.
And
it has a lot of juice.
Clammy cherry.
Clammy cherry.
No, I heard the
name is familiar.
How about red court plum and yellow court plum?
They had all kinds, and one of them had worms. You had to be careful.
That's the coolie plum.
The hot plum.
No, coolie plum would have worms too, but it wasn't the coolie plum.
There was a hot plum.
That's
but
it.
But for that matter, any one of those sweet fruits might have a worm in there. You know, depending on where. Yeah,
well,
I mean, even mangoes, I mean, you got to watch where you get them from and be sure you don't just start jumping on a worm.
That you mustn't eat black mango at night.
Very good.
Because if you eat black mango at night, you could eat a worm, you know, that they were supposed to be very wormy mangoes.
And if you recall, you can eat the whole black mango right down to the seed.
Yes.
Yeah. And the skin, too.
That's what I mean.
You wash it, yeah.
Well, I eat all mangoes down to the skin. I eat the skin of the mangoes, I always do.
The skin is loaded with nutrients.
Yeah, and black mango probably has iron because
the skin was so thin on the black mango.
Yes, exactly.
But I eat all mango skin. I mean, I'm not partial. If you're going to eat the mango,
some was kind of heavier.
Huh?
Some of the skin on the other mangoes were heavy.
You mean like, you remember number 11? Anybody remember?
No.
Yes.
I had a big tree,
that is the sweetest mango.
That is the one that you squeeze it, you pulverize it, and make a little hole to the end.
No.
And
so
on it.
Yeah.
No.
Number 11?
Number 11 was a nice, meaty mango.
Oh, but it's hard. Yes, I remember. That was hairy. The one that you would
beat up and make a hole at the top was beefy mango.
Because that had
a lot of beef.
I didn't like that.
So can we name what the ones with the common mangoes that we remember? Hairy.
All of those.
Hairy, beefy.
Mango, hairy mango.
Number 11.
Number 11 is mango.
Robin.
Real mango now.
Robin.
Uh-huh. Kidney.
Kidney mango. Yeah, that's the longmouth mango.
Uh-huh. And which other one?
You had a Bombay that was common. You had two types of Bombay.
One was sour.
And they both had different flavor.
One was a common
Bombay and one was, you know.
An aristocrat Bombay.
Right.
Okay.
And it was extremely tart, the one that...
And the sour one was number 11. Oh, my God.
I didn't find it sour. Number 11, we had this big number 11 tree, and when they ripe and fall down, because, you know, in those days, mangoes could actually fall off the tree.
They don't anymore?
People, oh, Lord, you go to Miami, they steal the mangoes like you would not believe. No, they don't anymore.
Oh, really?
They have time to fall, I guess.
No, they don't have time to fall, exactly. That's it, exactly. But the mangoes is so, I don't know what to say about it, but it's like you don't get it like you used to get it. You know what I'm saying? It has a whole different something. It's not like it used to be at all.
Here's a footnote. I have on my notes here that the Ortenique is also called a honey tangerine. Have you ever heard that name before?
I've never heard of an Ortenique, tell you the truth.
Oh, really?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I heard of it. I can't remember eating it, but I know I heard of it.
You know, you have sour orange.
Yes, sour orange, I know.
That might be sour orange they're talking about.
No. This is documented as a hybrid.
It's not sour. The color of it, Madge, is not like a yellow orange. It wants to have like a tangerine-looking type.
Looking
color,
right.
They're
on the internet.
Yeah.
There are pictures of them on the internet.
Yes.
Both
yes.
the ugly and the ordinary.
Yes, I remember it.
Well, you can get it here in the supermarket, you know.
Sometimes you see they put it out as a special too.
And it's called Hortenik. Spell it.
Yeah.
No.
Spell it.
O R.
O R.
It's part orange, part tangerine, and part unique.
Okay, so it's Hortenik. Okay.
Uh huh. And
yeah,
it was named by a Miss Jackson.
You can get it here in the Bronx.
It's like
I'm not in the Bronx. I'm in Florida. I'm in my...
Well, Florida, more so. If you went to a West Indian area, you'll probably get it.
I am in Georgia. Ain't nothing in Georgia, okay?
Yes, I've seen it in my farmer's market.
In the public?
No, in the farmer's market on Ponce de Leon.
Oh.
They have everything there. Now, let's talk about the tamarind.
Oh,
Lord. Tamarind, yeah.
Now, I always think of a stinking toe as a giant tamarind.
The stinking toe shaped like your big toe.
Yes, but
with a hard shell.
Does it have a shell that would be? I mean, it sort of looked like a tamarind in terms of its brown.
Only the color.
The shell is harder. You have to
I know it's harder, but I just mean it would be like to me,
it's
like a souped up a tamarind on steroids.
No,
a darker brown for the tamarind.
The stinking toe, the inside of it is very
powdery.
Powdery.
Yes, I remember that.
And when you open it, it have a way of coming up in your face.
Well, believe it or not, growing up in Jamaica, in Kingston, we had a big tree in the yard.
Yeah.
And when it was ready to eat, you could smell it from a distance.
It stinks?
No, you just smell.
You just smell the stinking toe. That's why it was called stinking toe.
You don't smell it until you break it. You know, but we used to love it, and it used to go all over our teeth, and we used to smile and say, take my picture.
Yes.
It's bouncing all over your teeth.
Uh-huh.
And we used to eat it with coconut, too.
No, you just had it by itself. And the powder all over your face. That's all I could remember.
And on your teeth.
I'd like to remind your listeners that you're listening to Backyard Labrish on Blog Talk Radio. We're here every Wednesday at 8 o'clock. We were running a little late tonight, so we got on at 8:30.
I wondered about that because they put me at 10 minutes to stay on hold, and I hung up the phone.
Yes, I'm sorry. I touched the wrong button. Please forgive me. But we're here normally at 8 o'clock, and I just appreciate everybody that has been so faithful to the backyard. And we will continue to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich culture of Jamaica. We have been discussing our exotic fruits and the wide variety of them. And for the past 3 weeks, we've just been in awe of all the nutrition that we consumed when we were growing up without knowing it. And I can really think back and think that perhaps that is why we were so healthy.
Probably.
We were so healthy because we had the variety. I remember eating a lot of different fruits. The only thing ones I don't remember are, I think I've seen a stinking toe and perhaps I can't remember eating it.
You know, you know what it looks like? It looks like the shake that something they make shaker.
Pasha or something that grow on a tree.
Yeah, that's
they
right.
Make,
the shake thing is.
Right, you can shake seeds in it.
Well, it looks like that, but that is not edible. I don't think.
I know that. No, that is not edible.
But the stinking toe is.
I have not been able to find anything, and if any of our listeners know where there's any written material about that particular fruit, I would appreciate them.
What we need to do at that juncture is to find out what is the scientific name, what they call it.
I was just about to say that. Stinking toy is probably just
a localized name,
you know.
So once we are in touch with the name. That
well,
name,
Cecilia, would you like to take that assignment for the backyard?
Nope.
Okay, because I've gone on Google. I've gone to Jamaican sites. I've seen people talking about stinking toe, but I have no way of getting the...
If you have a picture of it, maybe that would be...
I don't know who has a picture of it.
You could track it down and find out what it is.
Go to Google and Google.
I did.
Exotic? Did you, not Jamaica.
Yes. Unusual fruits. I've been all over. That's all I do is research.
You're not going to find it on the stinking tool.
No. Exotic fruits, unusual fruits. Jamaican fruits, you know, I've gone to all of those places. That's how come I got all the information on the different ways that other cultures use the same fruits that we have. Because sometimes they call it a different name, you know, it's still they have the name we call it. Along with the information.
What's that apple? That's the one I was trying to
remember. Oh, we discussed that in details last week or the week before. We have been doing the fruits for a month.
We've covered
a lot of them. So, Celia, if you listen to any of the old shows, starting the beginning of the year, we started on fruits. So we have gone through many, many of them in detail.
Many iterations, as I say. Okay.
Right.
What is that one when you go down to the beach and this tree that grows by the beach and it has
sea grapes.
We were talking about
almond.
Almond.
Almonds are expensive. Something.
Right, we have almonds. Yes, I didn't do the almonds as a fruit, but they have information on the almonds.
But I think this is probably not the same almond that we use for...
It's the same almond.
We just get it fresh, yes. You can eat the fruit and then break the seed.
When you pick it up,
you eat the outside from it. Yeah,
you eat the outside, yes.
Right,
and you break the almond, and it's the same almond that we get here.
You don't have to
cook it or anything. You can eat it just the way it is.
Yeah, you wash it, eat it. And I tell you, we used to pick it and don't wash it either. We just eat it.
Yeah.
Well, in those days, we didn't have the pollution in the air like we have now.
There were no worms.
No, that one never had worms.
There were no germs.
Oh, germs.
Germs didn't exist back then.
Yes, but Lay said worms and all.
I did say worms, but then don't forget your parents used to give you some bad tasting washout thing.
Yeah. You got
to take care of the worms.
To school.
Every August.
Summer.
It was
summer.
So wicked.
Yeah,
I think that's the wickedest thing a parent could do.
Well, let me tell you a little bit more about tamarind.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know that the twigs of the tamarind tree can be used as a chew stick?
Yes.
Oh, you knew that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
I know the leaves they used to put. When you have measles or anything like that, they would put it in the water to prevent the itching.
Yes, and they would also give it to you for cramps.
Cramps?
Yeah, menstrual cramps.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that one
either.
Well, I'm not.
But listen to some of the superstitions in other cultures about, well, not necessarily superstitions, but beliefs.
Mm.
The tamarind bark soaked with corn is
uh-huh.
given to domestic fowl in the belief that if they stray or are stolen, it will cause them to return to their home.
Oh,
really?
Yep.
That's interesting.
In Malaya, they put it with coconut milk, and it is placed in the mouth of an infant at birth.
Uh-huh.
And the bark of the tamarind fruit are given to elephants to make them wise.
Oh.
I thought the elephants were wise on their own.
Good
That's
thing we
I
didn't have any elephants in Jamaica.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
The roots contain, you know, a whole lot of different nutrients that I can't pronounce.
Mm.
That is in the roots.
Well, have you ever seen a tamarind tree?
Yes.
I mean, that's a huge tree.
Yeah.
Usually, you know.
Yeah.
So,
you
know.
One, it was big.
Yeah. And it's interesting.
You had to cut it back from time to time, no?
You're right. Maybe it is a folk lure to wonder about those roots, because those roots must be huge.
Mm-hmm.
In some parts of South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
The tree is considered sacred.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
And
anybody seen
in Burma, the tree represents the dwelling place of the rain god.
Uh huh.
And some hold belief that the tamarind tree raises the temperature in its immediate vicinity.
Makes sense to me.
The tree itself. Isn't that something?
That makes
I know
a whole
they used
lot of
to
sense
pick,
to me.
They used to pick the branch from the tamarind tree, and when it misbehaved,
that's
they used
switch.
To use it. And
a switch.
Use it as a switch.
The switch.
And it
and
was
it
strong.
Stings.
Yeah.
Yes, that would
that was the purpose.
Yeah.
Now, the pulp.
Used to be too.
The pulp is said to aid in the restoration of sensation in cases of paralysis.
Oh.
I would buy that. I swear I would buy that. Because when my father had a stroke, of course, you know, he didn't go to the doctor. He just, they gave him a nutmeg to put in his mouth.
Yeah, that's good.
As the healing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see my father before he passed away, you would not know he had a stroke.
Yeah.
There was no sign of it.
Nutmeg
so
was
I
good
believe
for
that.
That.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. Nutmeg was good for stroke. It was also good when you're pregnant and you get nauseous. You keep a piece in your mouth.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't throw up.
Yeah.
Nutmeg is very good for a lot of stuff.
I use it as a digestion because like I put nutmeg on my meat and
mm-hmm.
cinnamon because it's a good digestion. It's indigestible,
mm-hmm.
like black pepper, so
yeah.
that all the juices come out and smash up the food real quick.
Yeah, but
so we have 90 seconds left.
Okay,
and
thank you. I'm gonna say goodnight.
Oh, well, thank you for being here with us in the backyard. We always
enjoyed it.
We're always welcoming new people to take their chair and relax and come back often.
But you must make some tamarind soda. Remember tamarind soda?
Oh, yes, and you put this soda in it, and it foams.
It fizzles.
Yes. Well, next week we're going to be talking about something that hopefully, you know, we will know that there's hope for Haiti. Because I'm going to be giving some information out on all the earthquakes, some of the very bad earthquakes we had. And, you know, we recovered, even though it was long ago. And so, you know, life, there's also hope.
Jamaica had a big earthquake in the 50s.
Well, I'm going to talk about all the earthquakes
all
next week. So I hope you'll join us. And we want to welcome our visitors again. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your support. And continue to tell your friends to join us, because we're in love with our past. And we want to celebrate it and preserve it. And this is one way that we're doing it, by leaving a living, live legacy. So for the other listeners on the board, whenever you wish, please join the Labrish, because that's what it's all about. It's casual conversation about what we remember when we were growing up. So again, I want to thank all my listeners for joining me, and hope to see you all next week, when we'll be giving our spiritual and moral support to the survivors of the tragedy in Haiti by talking about what happened to Jamaica back in the days. So thanks again for joining me, and I hope to see you all next week. Bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Bye.
Bye.